Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jamie Vaughn with Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Today's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast is brought to you by Bethany Publishing, a division of Baker Publishing Group. And today, our special guest is Tracy Peterson, who is here today with her second book in the series called Beyond the Desert Sands. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, great. I want to hear all about this book. So give me the rundown.
Well, it's part of a three-book series of independent titles. So each book stands alone. Readers don't have to worry about reading book one first and catching up. So book two is Beyond the Desert Sands, as you mentioned. And it's a story that came about for a lot of different reasons, but I wanted a story to fit in with the theme of the Santa Fe Railroad. Mm-hmm. And the area of San Marcial, New Mexico. And then I created a little fictional town called Silvervale. Okay. And pulled in all my imagination and characters and whatnot, and created this story about a young woman who's rather spoiled. Mm-hmm. She's half Spanish and half white. Okay. And so she's lived a very secluded life in California on the family hacienda, and just has had things her way. Mm-hmm. And then as a child, her parents uproot her and move her to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And she has struggled with this ever since. And so her anger and frustration with not being in California leads her back there eventually when she becomes a young adult. And so her whole attitude is about herself. She doesn't understand why her parents have done this. She doesn't really care. She wants to be rid of everything that has to do with New Mexico. And lo and behold, her parents beg her to come back for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they send a young man that is a part of her past, a man who knows just how selfish and self-centered she can be. Okay. And so it throws them together. And of course, sparks fly, problems are abounding everywhere. And you know, she has to come to terms with who she is, who God wants her to be, what's going on in her parents' life, and so forth. So yeah. That's kind of a little bit of a
fun. It sounds fun and interesting. So each book stands alone in the series. So what is the theme, though, that holds them all together?
The theme is basically in regards to New Mexico in the early 1900s, the Santa Fe Railroad, this particular division is called the Horny Toad Line. And it was because of all the horned toads that were out on the tracks and caused problems for the railroad men. Uh-huh. But I had written a novella set in San Marcial for Bethany House. Mm-hmm. And it was called Flood of Love. And it was in their collection called Serving Up Love. And as I read about this town, I just knew I wanted to do more with it. And it's a ghost town now. There's hardly even a trace of it left. There's a cemetery. But at one time, it was a hub for the Santa Fe, and there were thousands of people there. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I just need to tell this history. This is too fascinating and too much fun.
I love that. I think that we forget that we have these cities that popped up and now are no longer around. So I love the idea that you're kind of preserving that history for those.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Santa Fe Railroad. Mm-hmm. But this particular book stands out in one special way. I had a contest and picked one person from everyone who entered. Mm-hmm. And the grand prize was that her name would become the name of my heroine in the story. Okay. So Isabella Garcia Bailey is a real person, but in my particular book, she's totally fictional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that idea. That's a great idea.
She did too. She thought that sounded like fun. So yeah. I'm hoping that she enjoys it as much as I did in writing her, you know, it's her character namesake.
It's a great way to get your fan base really involved in wanting to see what's next.
Definitely.
I love it. Okay, so Isabel is your protagonist. Can you tell me, like, what is the theme for her? Like, what are you wanting the reader to take away from her story?
I think, you know, I have a character who's very immature, spiritually really immature, but also, you know, her attitude is very self-centered and she doesn't give a lot of consideration and thought to other people. And so she has to grow up in this story and she starts to see herself in different eyes. And she starts to understand her parents are very good about taking care of people around them and very, very much a part of the community. They reach out, they share God, and they want Isabella to be the same way. And so as she starts to come to terms with these things and also to understand that a lot of times in life, things happen that you might not have the inside scoop on, but somebody else does. And there is a reason for everything that takes place. And so she has to come to terms with that and recognize for herself how her actions have affected other people. She has to learn to forgive. She has to learn to overcome the selfish mentality, all those things. And most of all, you know, to love and to not assign motives to people and their actions.
So Aaron Bailey is your male protagonist in here, and you have him working for the Santa Fe Railroad.
I do.
So why did you pick that profession for him? And you said something earlier in the interview about he knows her from before.
Are he you does. Tell me a little bit about that. Well, Aaron Bailey has a job as a lease agent. And so for the spur lines and whatnot on the railroad. So a lot of times you had the main line and then you had these little spurs that went into towns that, you know, might not otherwise have the railroad. But since Silvervale, my little fictional town, is a town that is producing quite a bit of silver, they managed to get a spur with the Santa Fe Railroad. And so Aaron Bailey is the one who handles all this. And he's become really good friends with Isabella's father over the years. And that started when she was about 18. And so he overhears a conversation between her and her father. And it wasn't a very pleasant one. And so she was not at her best. And he was a part of that. And so she doesn't want anything to do with him. She hopes to never see him again. But when her parents ask her to come for Christmas, they send him out to accompany her and keep her safe on the, you know, on the trip home. So she has to deal with that and to face her embarrassment from the past.
Gotcha. So you have written historical fiction and contemporary fiction. Is there one that you like better than the other?
Oh, definitely historical. It's my favorite. My husband's a historian and his background is history and political science. So I hired him to work for me and to help me with research. And it's just been an amazing career of doing that together. And a lot of times we're both readers. So he'll read something and he'll say, hey, you might want to check this out. And a lot of times then I'll get an idea for a story, or we watch just copious amounts of documentaries and whatnot, because we both love history. And, you know, inevitably we'll end up watching something and then pausing it and saying, hey, what if we had a story that was set in this time period around this event, you know? And so it's just been a great relationship, and we just have so much fun with it.
I always ask what's your research process, but I think this is the first time that I've heard my husband does it.
Doesn't do it all, that's for sure, because every writer has to has to understand the history. I tell readers or writers when I'm teaching, you know, you need to know as much as possible about your setting and about what's going on and that time period. And you might use 10% of it, but you need to know, because that keeps you from putting in a wrong attitude or, you know, suggesting something that couldn't possibly have happened during that particular situation. I like to find real towns and real places and just kind of blend in with their history and make it like a secondary character.
Yeah. So when you're doing research, do you go to these cities that you've decided to place your character in?
I try to always go and visit. It's great to talk to local people. It's awesome to get local research books. But what's funny with this particular one is I went into this area long ago and didn't even realize I would probably write about it, but I got the research. I did lots of pictures. I did lots of notes. I talked to people about the area and things like that. And so that's always been my process. Whenever we research one book, mm-hmm. I'm actually taking notes and trying to keep track of everything just in case I want to use it for something else.
Oh, that's so smart. So tell me, what is next for you?
I'm actually working on a really interesting series. It will debut in March, and it's called Pictures of Love.
Okay.
The series is, and book one is Remember Me. It's set in Seattle in 1909 at the Alaska-Yukon Pacific Exposition, which was like a world fair.
Okay.
And I created some girls who take pictures. I call them camera girls because Kodak had a brand new Brownie camera out that year. And so I have them using this at the fair, taking pictures of people so they would be able to buy this one picture and have a, you know, souvenir of the fair. And so in each of the books, people will be related and they'll know each other from another book or whatever.
Okay.
But again, the books, the stories will stand alone. The commonality will be some of the characters and the camera girls mm-hmm. and the setting for this at the exposition. So it's been a lot of fun. It was a really interesting world fair kind of thing. And just Seattle did, they pulled out the stops for this in 1909. And I had so much fun. My husband really helped me with the research on that one. Mm-hmm. And of course, we visited Seattle and whatnot. And it's just, I think it's been a fun series to put together.
Oh, fun. So if anybody wants to take a class with you, how do they do that?
Well, it just depends. You know, I have shown up at various conferences in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't do a whole lot now as much as I did before, but I've been contacted several times by different organizations and we just work together and put together, you know, a local class or a Zoom class. So anything's possible. They can get in touch with my publisher.
Got it. All right. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for stopping by the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. And everyone, go out and buy her book now, Beyond the Desert, yes, Beyond the Desert Sands. And make sure to buy local if you can, but buy where you can. And if you like this chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, make sure to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss another chapter.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.